Welcome to Happy Hour. We are live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair in beautiful, hot, muggy Imlay City. What's going on? Sean Cowell hanging out with your local alternative Solid State Radio. Nicer day than I'll say Wednesday was, but right now we're at 86 with a heat index of about 205, give or take. So we're going to be out here until 7 tonight. Yeah, you got a bonus hour us because we're going to be live on 660, the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC, later on in the 5 and 6 o'clock hour. We've also got stuff to give away a little bit later on today. We still got a couple free dinners from Wood Chips, Real American Barbecue, and lovely downtown Lapeer. We've got some CDs from Solid State Sessions artists and things of that nature. We've got a couple T-shirts back here as well. We'll give those away later on in the program. It'll be a good time all the way around. Much to do today. We'll get into the sports stuff coming up in a bit because, the Tigers got to be on the receiving end of greatness yesterday. We'll get full into that in a little bit and kind of really tie it into the historical moments, the moment of greatness that you got to be present for at a sporting event since yesterday Shohei Ohtani kind of put on a clinic for the Tigers and hopefully a demonstration of why it is this man's going to be getting $700 million in the offseason. Probably not from us, but, one can only hope, right? All that and more coming up this afternoon. Got a request already early on in the show. Fellow drop by here wanted to hear some Jane's Addiction. Been caught stealing your local alternative, Solid State Radio, live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair. Jets in your local alternative, Solid State Radio. We are live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair in Imlay City. We're here all week long, although we're kind of getting to the end of things here. We got just two more days of this. Hard to believe we've already gone through this much of the week. I can't believe it's already Friday, man. And that means that we've come really to the fun parts of the week. Tonight's the bump and run up in the grandstands. That starts at 7 tomorrow, because we all know what you're really here for. The Demolition Derby is tomorrow night at 7, sponsored by Great Clips. So for both today and tomorrow, $25 to get in, and that gets you everything. That gets you the grandstand events, free admission to those. That gets you carnival rides. Ride all the rides until you're absolutely sick of rides. You can go and do that. That is absolutely a thing here. You can go and do that all you want, all afternoon long. Right until you're just expelling everything in your stomach. That's free. Free parking. Free live music. Free pretty much everything except food. And let me tell you, the food's entirely reasonably priced, too. I have been, every day we've been here, I've been getting lunch from the Imlay City Eagles, or Imlay City Lions Den, up in front by the fair office. And let me tell you, they make a damn fine cheeseburger and coney fry, if I do say so myself. And I got out of there for $12 for that. And it's all for a good cause. The Imlay City Lions are doing so many good things in and around the Imlay City area. In fact, they're set up across from us doing free diabetes tests here in the merchant building where over across from where we are set up. So we'll be out here live all afternoon long getting a quick check of your forecast. I love that the severe weather that has been threatened all day keeps getting pushed further and further back. As of right now, there's still a possibility for it, but now it looks like it's not going to hit till after 11 tonight. So you're basically all in the clear. If you want to come out here to the fair, ride rides to your heart's content, be here for the bump and run, all that good stuff, the weather's going to cooperate quite well for it. High today getting up to around 84, though it's going to feel like about 265 or so. Tonight, thunderstorms possible after 11 midnight or so. Low getting down to around 65. Then tomorrow, if you're planning on coming out, a possible stray shower or thunderstorm early in the morning, and then clearing up into the afternoon. Really all the storms should be done by about 7 a.m., and then you're pretty much smooth sailing for the rest of the afternoon with a high of 79 and a low of 57. Then for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 76 and a low of 54. Right now, you're 87 in Flint, 90 in the Tri-Cities, 85 in lovely Lapeer, and 85 here in beautiful Imlay City with a heat index of about 212, give or take. We are out live all afternoon long at the East Michigan State Fair in Imlay City. Let's hit a quick break. We'll come back with some more tunes. It is your local alternative, Solid State Radio. The Chili Peppers are your local alternative, Solid State Radio, as we broadcast live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
How we doing, everybody? Boy, they brought the fans out today. It's nice.
I know. Well, they kind of had to because I believe the heat index is currently sitting at about 235 degrees, give or take. It was kind of a necessity, really.
Yeah, that definitely need to happen. It's and I don't know if you've done the weather yet, but it's...
Oh, I did, yeah.
It's looking kind of nasty, but...
Not while we're here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're here.
No, like I'm looking at it. Right now, the last update I did about 20 minutes ago, it's not supposed to get nasty now until after midnight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And
that works out.
It's supposed to be done by about 7 a.m.
Perfect sleeping weather.
Right? Exactly.
There's some people out there that like hearing like a little bit of thunder and rain when they sleep. Are you one of those people?
I'm fine with it. Like, it doesn't keep me up. It certainly doesn't have the opposite effect, I find.
I like it when it's like a little bit of a rain, maybe a little bit of rumble, not a big thunderstorm, you know, that makes a dog come running into the bedroom.
Well, see, that's the difference, though. That's the thing with you. You've got, you know, the dog will run in and start freaking out. With us, like, the cats don't really care at this point. Like, they might go hide. Yeah, exactly. They're pretty good about that sort of thing. And me, I can sleep through it. I could probably sleep through a Category 5 hurricane, man. Like, once I actually get to sleep, it's pretty much game over. Like, no storm's going to wake me up, typically.
Yeah, Sean usually just gets himself into a drunken stupor, and then it lights out.
You know, it kind of sorts itself out at that point.
Oh, jeez.
That's the fun of, you know, of being me. I can just pass out like that. And like, oh, well, no, there's a freight train literally just came through our bedroom. Like, oh, I didn't even notice.
Is Rachel a light sleeper?
When she gets there, she's pretty good, which is amazing because I, as we've talked about, I kind of thrash around like I'm trying to get off the Titanic or something. Like, once she's down for the count, like, uh-huh. it's getting to that point for her that's often difficult, but, like, once she's down, she's, like, out.
Done. Just, no, that's me. I, little man wasn't going down again. Joey was not, he was a party animal. He wanted to be up all night. And
takes after his dad.
Dorothy understood. She didn't have to work today, so she's like, go ahead. I'll take care of him. I'll come up when he's asleep. So she comes up at 1 o'clock and puts on the baby monitor.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, because he's downstairs sleeping, she's going to put on the baby monitor and go to sleep. Sounds great, in theory. Instead, Harley is watching YouTube and TikTok videos, and that's blaring through the baby monitor.
Lovely.
And I'm trying to sleep during all this, and it's like these 10-second little videos. Harley only watches like the first 5 seconds.
So he is the person that they put the watch till the end disclaimer there for.
Yeah, exactly. He is one of those guys. I went downstairs. I'm like, listen, if Joey starts crying, come up and wake us up. But I'm turning off the baby monitor because I'm sure my dad probably watched like Voltron with me or Transformers. He's like, how do you watch this crap? I'm watching YouTube and TikTok. I'm like, and I'm asking them, how do you watch this crap? And so I try not to get on him, but yeah, I had to turn the baby monitor off or I was not going to get any sleep.
Honestly, it's amazing you do anyway. Like, in that house, I don't know how anyone sleeps.
It's not too bad. It's just over the monitor, like, oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God, dude. Ah! And those kind of videos. Oh, my God, there's a ghost right over there, dude. Oh, no, dude, that's just some guy in a sheet. Then why is he wearing Skechers?
That sounds like the worst thing literally ever.
No, it's one day I'll sneak into your house, put it on a loop on TV, and you'll just... You'll understand my frustration.
No, trust me, I understand your frustration already. You, You have a lot of obnoxious children in your house, and that's why this is why children are not welcome in the Cantwell household.
That's right.
There's a method to my madness, sir, and it's mostly the madness of everyone around us who deals with it.
Sorry, kids. I'd love to take you over there, but Sean's rules.
Yeah, there's really nothing we can do about it. Sorry.
Why'd you have your mail forwarded there? Well, you know, it just happens.
Because I'm probably there more than I am here anyway. Don't worry about it. Don't question it. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, we're out live at Eastern Michigan State Fair. We're going to be out here all afternoon long. Got stuff to give away coming up here in a little bit. We'll also get to some unsolicited advice and sports-like things. And, you know, we'll figure out the rest from there.
Okay.
Right now, here's Royal Blood at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Smashing Pumpkins at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. We are live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair in beautiful Imlay City. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. It's happy hour, and I suppose it's about that time.
Right about now?
Yeah, Funk's old brother. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Because it's the middle of summer and it's like 360 degrees currently in this building does not mean that there's not hockey things to talk about.
It's the off season. There's always things to talk about.
You're not wrong. So there's a few things in particular we have to discuss.
Sure.
Of course, Patrice Bergeron retired.
Yeah. You know what? The one Bruin I liked.
Possibly the only Bruin I liked.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Bert, for the half a season that he was a Bruin anyway.
Yeah. Something like that.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, just Patrice Bergeron. A fantastic career. Tip the cap to him. Went out on top. You know, they lost in the first round, but I tell you what, he was still... It wasn't like... When you retire from anything, you want them to say, oh, too soon, as opposed to, wow, it's about time.
And he had 19 years in the league. He was one of the last, I think, four guys that was in the league pre-lockout.
Now there's only three other ones, yeah.
Fleury, Eric Staal, and I don't remember who the other cat is.
I can't remember either.
Doesn't really matter.
No. So, yeah, it's... Now they're naming Brad Marchand. Old Ratface. Is going to be the captain of the Boston Bruins.
That's unfortunate.
Apparently, Boston just loves to see their captain in the penalty box.
Clearly.
Why not? We got used to it in Detroit. Hi, Larkin.
Better apologize to Dylan Larkin and Ratface Marchand.
Yeah, definitely should.
And then you had mentioned something about Sean Avery's running his yap again about that he could play in the league today.
Yeah, there was a news story all over my feed, and now I can't find it because that's been usurped by him now having a personal protection order against his estranged wife for child abuse and everything. Yeah, this Avery guy, he's always been a real piece of work. But yeah, he was making claims, kind of taking jabs at Ryan Reeves, who has signed with Toronto, and basically saying he's trash. I could outplay him.
Who is?
Ryan Reeves is trash.
Okay.
He's trash. I could outplay him. Maple Leafs should sign me. I'd crack the lineup on opening night. Basically, he just hasn't seen his name in the headlines in a while, so he's got to go out and say something stupid. I mean, Ryan Reeves is no joke. I mean, he's not on the Bob Probert level, but he's a much better player than Sean Avery was.
Yeah, he said, quote, mark my words, the Revo thing's going to turn into a sideshow.
As opposed to Sean Avery pulling a camera in the dressing room. Hey, guys, watch this. Because at that point, I can't remember the cat's name, but he was dating Eliza Cuthbert, who was his ex. He's like, yeah, I like going to cities and visiting my sloppy seconds. I'm like, real classy, dude.
Right.
Real classy.
And sure enough, he does say he believes that with 8 weeks' notice, he could make the Leafs and outperform Reeves.
Well, you know what?
I'd like to see it.
Let's get him in the octagon.
Let's make it
three
happen.
Three rounds.
Yeah, quote, I could make the Leafs. I'm probably in the best shape of my life. I would give that dressing room a run for their money. Could I get my timing in 5 weeks to be ready for training camp? No. But if they knew I was on the team and was like, okay, he needs 8 weeks, then I would be ready and I would be much more effective than Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'd like to see how that works out for you, buddy. I
am going to say this, and I don't like saying this, but I'm going to say this, that Toronto Maple Leafs during the offseason did a good job. Signed a lot of guys to a one-year contract. Can they keep it together? Are they going to be able to keep this going? Because I think right now, as it stands, they are over the cap. But they've made some moves.
They have, and honestly, I've been impressed with most of those moves, but I'm also kind of wondering, they're going to have to get under the cap somehow.
I don't know how.
You know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to trade Nylander, and they're going to have to trade him to Detroit. There's the only one. That's the only way about it.
I think, I don't know. Yzerman starts spending money like somebody from Navy on shore leave. So it's like, I don't know. I think we got like $8 million in cap space.
Right. I mean, I think we have a little more than that. It wasn't like terrible. Like, I'll prove myself wrong here momentarily,
Yzerman, I think it's $8 million, but Yzerman can do a lot with $8 million. But
he can.
But when he started like with $30 million, and then just signed everybody and their brother. A lot of those were on two-way deals, so I think a lot of that would come off the salary cap.
Yep, 8.162. Yeah. And looking at Toronto's situation, they're in the negative by 12 mil, as we know. And Nylander is making this season, he's good for a cap hit of 6.9 mil. You could do this. You could totally do this.
Yes.
There's room. And presumably you're going to have to trade somebody to make it worth their while to give him up.
Somebody's got
to
go.
Someone's going to have to go. And I think at that point,
just send Austin Matthews to Arizona. He wants to go to Arizona. Just ask any Coyote fan.
The Coyote fans are convinced on this, and I don't know what universe these people live in.
I mean, we can get all three of them on the phone right now.
You're...
But he's from Arizona. That he wants to come home. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah.
Yeah, about that. They're really convinced that anyone wants to play in Arizona, which I hate to break this to them. No one wants to play in your town.
No.
No one wants to go into the middle of the desert, 120 degrees in the summer, and like five people who care about your team.
Yeah.
And also, you're probably not even going to be there by the time next season rolls around.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see it. Not in the slightest. So there's your daily dose of hockey from the two of us idiots, because we always find time. There's
always room for hockey.
There's always room for hockey on this radio show. Well, let's scare the affiliate, shall we? Here's Rage. It's Killing the Name, your local alternative to Solid State Radio. Kings of Leon on Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. We are live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair. Just having a good old time this afternoon.
Apparently I just missed Uncle Jack.
Oh, yeah. Don't you hate when that happens? Just damn shame it really is.
Yeah.
If you're planning on coming out to the fair, by the way, it looks like it's going to be some quite nice weather the rest of the way, other than, the heat. Today, high 86. Thunderstorms now looking like they're not going to start until after midnight and should be done by 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Low getting down to 65. Tomorrow, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible early. Cloudy skies early from about 8 o'clock on, then partly cloudy for the afternoon with a high of 80 and a low of 57. Then for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 76 and a low of 54. Right now, 88 in Flint, 90 in the Tri-Cities, 84 in beautiful Imlay City under partly cloudy skies. For whatever it might be worth. So I want to throw this at you and see how BS you think it is.
Okay.
And I feel like you'll absolutely agree with me.
My BS barometer is charged and ready to go.
Good. So they recently did a study over at gambling.com of the smartest fan bases in the NFL. Care to take a guess who came in at number one?
Smartest fan base?
Smartest fan base in the National Football League.
I'm going to say the Detroit Lions, because we know our team's trash.
But here's the problem. People still supported them while they were trash, and you're wrong.
Oh, at smartest. Are they saying like the ones who, like they did a poll and find out how many are college educated?
They compiled education levels of social media followers.
Oh. Let me see. I'm trying to think. So, pretty much, the South is out.
You're absolutely correct. Apologize to the South.
We'll rise again when NASCAR is over. California. It's got to be a Californian team, right?
It is not. Actually, think East.
I know that we went through Maryland. There was a lot of educated people over there.
Yeah, but none of them are Ravens fans.
Yeah. Oh, man. Now, I've seen too many Jets fans to know it's not a New York team.
It's definitely not a New York team.
And Buffalo.
Wait. No, you got it right.
What?
It's Buffalo.
Buffalo is the smartest.
Yeah, Buffalo Bills fans, according to gambling.com, are the smartest fan base in the NFL. Yes, the people who throw themselves from into tables that they set on fire, these are the smartest fans in the National Football League. That's scary. That is scary as all hell.
You know what that is? Is that gambling side, they're like, we need more people from Buffalo. Hey, Buffalo, you guys are, like, really smart and attractive, too. I tell you what, you guys really know how to party. Come gamble here.
Yep, the same people who chug whiskey from bowling balls, eat food off rusted car hoods, and smash friends and family through tables are the smartest of all football fans.
Oh, I tell you, Reginald, I do have my 20th college reunion coming up here in a little bit, but let me throw you through this table first.
Right? After that, you want to guess who came in second?
I'm astonished by Buffalo. So
you're going to be even more astonished by this.
Cleveland Browns fans.
Are okay. The second smartest among the NFL.
Okay, I guess.
I don't know how that's possible because, I mean, they had their team taken from them and it came back, you know, like out of pet cemetery. It was never the same as they put it back in. And it's been terrible ever since, and they, again, just kind of put up with it. Yeah. Tampa Bay Bucks are in third.
I could see that. There's a lot of people who, you know, they make their money, and then they go to Florida.
True.
They get successful. They get the education, then they get successful. They get the money, and they go down to Florida. It makes sense.
Yeah. Then Kansas City comes in at four, and I call BS on this one. Packers at five.
Packers.
The Packers.
I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of people who go hang out at an outdoor stadium at sub-zero temperatures. Yeah, they're the top five smartest fan base in the NFL, that's for sure. Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Are you sure smart wasn't in quotation marks in this headline? Yeah, these people were really smart.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not buying it.
I'm not either.
I'm just not buying it.
Want to take a stab at the bottom of the list?
Oh, yeah. Got, Dallas Cowboys.
Weirdly enough, the Cowboys were ranked number six on the list.
Really?
Somehow. I don't know how, but they were.
All right.
I'm as amazed as you
all
are.
All right. How about, Atlanta Falcons.
21.
Okay, they're down there. Come on. The Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders.
You know? That would probably be one of my guesses, but that comes in number 13. Okay, so the worst, dumbest fan base in the league.
Uh-huh.
The New York Giants. Followed by the Vikings and the Jets.
The Vikings and the Jets.
So both the New York teams place two of the bottom three in least smartest fan base in the league. Now, do you want to guess where the Lions place?
Oh, I'm going to say probably middle of the pack. I'm going to say 16.
You're actually pretty close. 14.
Really?
Yeah, 14th smartest fans in the league. I don't know how that's possible because I've watched this team for way too long. And watching the Lions over the last, you know, 50 years will kill a brain cell or two, you would think.
You know, speaking of fan bases, I have a list over here that we could have a little bit of fun with later on if you should feel so inclined.
And maybe we will.
It is the names of music fan bases. Remember we were talking about Doja Cat?
And the kittens, apparently?
Yeah.
Apparently she hates that name, ever use it. But
yeah, that's not on the list. But we'll have we can have a little bit of fun. I can give you the fan base name, and you guess the band.
We could do that.
This could make you twist in the wind just a little.
This sounds almost stupid enough to work.
Okay.
So maybe we'll do it next on Happy... Well, next. We'll do it sometime probably this hour on Happy Hour at your local alternative South State Radio. Stick around. Republica, your local alternative South State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Hare-Huck. I'm Sean Cantwell. We are broadcasting live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair in beautiful Imlay City. Having just a good old time this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Getting geared up because we're doing some OT today.
Yes, we are. We're running an extra hour. The hour that we normally do on the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC AM 660, which is all the good stuff you would have already heard at this point. Yeah, they're taking us live today. Live without a net. I'm sure Eddie Fury is currently sitting in studio just like, oh, God, don't get me fired today. Don't get me fired today.
What are those guys going to be talking about? Oh, it's everything's going to be just fine. I got a meatloaf recipe we're going to talk about.
Right.
We're going to talk about how to compost responsibly.
And then Adam's going to count down his top 10 favorite curse words live on the air.
Number one will surprise you. And then, of course, on a South State Radio side, from 7 to 8, I'll have Frame 42 at the South State Radio booth. Going to talk to them about their latest album. If you miss it on South State Radio, don't worry. You can relive all the magic from 11 to midnight on the Thumb's Greatest Hits, 97.7 WTGV.
It'll be a good time all the way around.
What would Frame 42, maybe that's a good question for me to ask them, what would they call their fan base?
I don't know.
Framers or?
Framers, I guess?
I don't know. There, I've got a list. I got two separate lists here of fan base names. Now, we talked, kind of started with Doja Cat.
Being all upset that her fans call themselves the names that she gave them, that
sounds
kittens
like,
or whatever.
The kittens, yeah. Sounds like she's just upset, period. I have fans. Oh, my God. I'm such a tortured artist. And that's probably going to get her more fans. So they'll be like, oh, she's so mysterious. She doesn't want us around, so we got to follow her.
I know. That's the thing. You know it's going to work the exact opposite way. Like, she's just going to have more people who just come to defend her for that.
Yeah. So I'm going to subject you to these fan-based names. I'm going to give you the name, and you have to tell me what band or artist they are a fan of. Some of these are easy. Some of them are not.
Are we doing this? Are we diving right into this then?
Sure, if you want to, unless you want to hold off.
I think we might. This might be one that might be fun for the for our terrestrial people, too.
Oh, okay.
We can do a few, though, real quick.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the easiest one first. Beatlemaniacs.
Hmm. I'm guessing that the Rolling Stones.
No.
Beatles.
How about, this one's not as easy. How about maggots?
Slipknot?
Slipknot, okay. This is going to be very interesting. We'll save the rest for WMIC.
Yeah, you really didn't think I was going to get that one. Like,
no.
I liked the heavier stuff back in the day, man. And that's, I mean, I think there's whole songs with references to that, so.
Yep.
We need to figure out a name for our fan base, the all, you know, three of them that we have. Alcoholics?
Yeah, I guess that'll work.
I mean, that really, I feel like, just sums it up well.
The Enablers?
The Enablers. I like it. This you might have something. You might just be onto something, or maybe just be on something. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, a little bit column A, a little column B.
With us, usually a lot of column B.
Gotcha.
Let's get a quick check of your weather real quick, because we're going to have to send it back to a break in a minute so we can get all situated for our friends over at WMIC. Looking at the forecast for the rest of the afternoon, you're looking at actually mostly cloudy skies today.
It's looking blue out there.
High getting up to around 86, which you're at right now. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms starting after midnight. Becoming more widespread overnight, should be done by about 7 or so, low getting down to around 65. Tomorrow, clouds in the morning. Storms, like I said, should be done around 7 or 8. Partial sunshine, clouds should be opening up around noon, high of 79 and a low of 57. Then for Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high of 76 and a low of 54. Right now, 87 in Flint, 90 in the Tri-Cities. Good Lord, 90 right now in Saginaw. 86 in lovely downtown Lapeer. And here in beautiful Imlay City, 84 degrees under cloudy skies. Well, actually, partly cloudy skies. heat index of we should be 360 for about 10 to 15 minutes, give or take, and then we should be done cooking. It's God, it feels like it today, man.
Stick a fork in us, we're done.
We really are. Good thing we are done in about 2.5 hours, give or take.
Yep.
You can go and cool down somewhere, probably the beer tent. Let's be honest. It's us, so you'll probably be able to find us there after about 8 o'clock or so tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
To the shock of absolutely positively nobody. It's happy hour. We're broadcasting live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair. Do one more tune and we'll send it off to a commercial break. Here's Real Big Fish, your local alternative South State Radio.
It's martini time.
Welcome to Happy Hour, or welcome back, depending on where you're tuning into us. It is Happy Hour on the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC, AM 660, and FM 95.3, and also streaming at Solid State Radio. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and we're out on the road again today.
That's right.
At the Eastern Michigan State Fair in beautiful Imlay City.
Absolutely. We've been here all week. They've been nothing but gracious to us. It's been an absolute blast.
It's really amazing. They haven't kicked us out yet.
No. No, it's been great. We've been making some friends. Saw some of our other friends from radio stations.
Right. Always a good time when we show up out here, man.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of stuff to cover in the next the hour and a half that we have remaining here. And I want to get to a little bit of sports right off the jump, because
Sure. If
anyone was still possibly under the delusion that your Detroit Tigers were going to be players at the trade deadline, or at the very least standing pat at the trade deadline and maybe not selling things, yesterday should have probably put your mind at ease somewhat that will not be happening, as Shohei Ohtani kind of took you to school. Took you to school 6 ways from Sunday. I was sitting listening on my way up here to the fair to WTGV as Ohtani put down a complete game one-hit shutout. And I realized this team might as well be the Toledo Mud Hens that were putting out on the field.
Yeah.
Other than, like, Riley Green and
the injury
Torque.
Bug has bit the Tigers.
It's
something fierce.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the pitching, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's no such excuse for the hitting. There's no excuse there. So, I mean, yeah, I will grant you that's the, like, you're pitching. It's amazing you've gotten what you have out of these guys. But the hitting's just been this bad all year, and part of me feels like this was these are the guys they put out there that they wanted out there. Like, someone in the front office thought it'd be a good idea to put Javier Baez out there and let him keep flailing away on the first pitch every night. Like, these are things that an actual person who has a job that pays him far more than we get paid to do this sat back and thought, yeah, this is a major league roster. This is a great idea. I am okay with this. But all that being said, that's not even my point in bringing this up. So Ohtani goes out there, and he does something that we haven't seen a player do in at least 50 years, maybe longer. So complete game, one-hit shutout in game one of the doubleheader. Then game two, he goes out there and hits 2 home runs. Not content to just dominate you on the mound. He has to go up and make his point in the batter's box too, and boy, did he ever!
They weren't in Detroit.
Oh, I believe they were in Detroit. Yeah, they were playing Comerica Park.
So they play by National League rules when they're in Detroit.
No, they changed that rule. Remember, it's universal DH now, and they changed the rules specifically for Ohtani that you can go and pitch and still be in the lineup, and they can actually even pull him out as the pitcher, and he can still be the DH.
Gotcha, okay.
So that's no longer a consideration, which if there's one upside to the universal DH, that's kind of it. I still get to see Shohei Ohtani go out there and swing a bat and just do it better than anybody in this league. And there's no getting around this. Dude might be the best arguably is the best baseball player of our generation, of our lifetime. Like, I said for a lot of years that Miguel Cabrera was the best hitter I had ever seen in my lifetime, but this guy is the most complete, well-rounded player. He's great at the in the batter's box. He's great on the mound. An all-time great. I think there's a good chance this guy goes and ends up being the greatest player ever to do it.
Wow.
And I know a lot of old-timers want to chime in. Well, Babe Ruth, he went out there and did it too. Like, no, he didn't do it. He didn't do it both of those things for any length of time. His last year as a pitcher is basically the only time he actually hit, and he immediately stopped pitching after that. What we're watching now is a guy who is dominant at both facets of the game at the same time and has been his whole career, really. You know, injuries notwithstanding in the first part of his career. But if you were Comerica Park yesterday, you got to see something, dare I say, historic. An all-time great moment. You got to watch a guy at the peak of his game go out there and show you everything that he can do and just how good he can do it. And it really makes me wonder. And you even had guys like Matt Manning goes out there and as gracious as he is and is like, yeah, we got to see something crazy yesterday that we won't get to see again probably for a while. Like, this was a great moment to get to witness it, even as a Tigers fan, to watch him go out there and just greatness in action. But it has me thinking, what is the best sports moment? And I would probably narrow it to Detroit sports, but if you have something outside of that, I would certainly welcome it. Best sports moment that you either got to see live or live in person?
See, live in person, I've only been to hockey games, so it would be relegated to just hockey. And I can't really, with the exception of our goaltender getting shut out and me being put on the Jumbotron because I was wearing his jersey and maybe I was flailing it above my head. Really, I would have to say things that I saw on TV. And that, the big thing would be the Wings breaking their 1942 Stanley Cup drought in 1997 and winning the whole thing.
That's up there for me. Certainly, Fight Night is up there for me. I feel like for a lot of people, Fedorov's 5-goal day is up there.
Yes.
Like, that's something that I feel like is a holy day for a lot of hockey fans in this town. Really, both of those days.
Yeah, that was December 26th, 1996, against the Capitals, I do believe.
I do believe you're correct on that, sir.
And I think the only reason why I remember that exact day is every once in a while the NHL Network will play that game in its entirety. And, you know, seeing, you know, Fedorov and Paul Coffey and Yzerman and I can't remember who was in net for us. I'm going to say Vernon, but I could be wrong.
But just a game that you were watching that, like, you know, in this moment you're watching something special, something, you know, historic or near historic, something that you know you're not probably going to see again in your lifetime.
Well, quite frankly, and a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but Tom Brady, whenever he plays in a Super Bowl.
That's true. I mean,
there's a lot to choose from. But
yeah, especially watching the one with Tampa Bay, like after, you know, this guy's washed. He's never going to. He's not going to win again.
Patriots, they're right to cut him.
Like, Belichick's the whole reason he's still in this. Like, he's the only reason that he's any good. Because there were so many people like, Belichick made Tom Brady. Like, there was a lot of that.
And maybe they've got a point, but, I mean, at some point, the learner became the master and showed what was going on. I mean, Brady basically just went through and pointed to a team and say, I'm going to take them to the Super Bowl, and did it. I mean, Gronk was involved. But,
yeah, you know. No doubt about it. Now, for one game I can point out, I wasn't there for it in person. I'll never forget, I was watching it at home when it happened.
Sure.
The near-perfect game. Armando Galarraga. You know the one.
Yep, I was at a local watering hole that was connected to a hockey rink in Lapeer for that one.
Like, I remember seeing this, watching the movie. Oh, my God, he actually did it. I actually went out and bought his jersey after this. Because it's just how, like, you know you're never going to see this again. Like, okay, we've seen no-hitters. We've seen multiple no-hitters. We saw a team combined no-hitter this season for Detroit.
Yep.
You're never going to see a 28-out perfect game ever again. It's not going to happen.
And then Joyce screwed that up.
And watching afterwards, like, actually listening to the game when on the radio side, I think it's Jeff Rieger goes and talks to Joyce immediately after the game and gets him just like, he knew in that moment he screwed up. And he knew it, like, right off the – and there was nothing MLB could do. And, I mean, really, what can you do at that point? I mean, you could go and correct the error at some point, but, you know, everyone knows what they saw.
Yeah.
It was certainly a moment, a game that – I know I'll always remember that. Like,
did they go back and give him the perfect game?
No, they did not. They left it as it stood on the field, and then you had the next night, you know, going out. They have Joyce out there have Galarraga go to give him the batting the lineup card.
Yeah, I felt bad for Joyce. You could see it was in his face.
Yeah,
he was crying and. Oh, yeah, that was a rough one.
That certainly is one of those. It's on a level of we will never see that happen again.
Yep.
That you can make an argument for, even though the Lions, Calvin Johnson and the process catch.
Oh, didn't follow the process or something like that. Yeah,
complete the process.
Yeah, we got – I'm trying to find a nice, polite way of saying this. They did us dirty.
They really, truly did. That's one. Barry Sanders breaking the rushing record. Like, there are so many. I remember watching at home when the Palace broke out.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Then Brett Hall scoring his 700th.
That's certainly up there.
Yep.
One that's not Detroit, but I was watching at the bar, at Cascadens, the night that Ovi broke the NHL goal record. Or not the NHL goal, but passed... who was it?
Gordie Howe.
Yeah, passed Gordie Howe. That's what it was.
He only has Gretzky in it, to beat.
And that one, I'm not going to lie, man. When that finally happens, I think we might have to make a road trip.
Just go to Washington or wherever they're playing.
I'd be down to go see it.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll be there.
Wouldn't you want to say you were there when it happened? Like, because neither of us have. I mean, we've been to a lot of sporting events, certainly. I've been to a lot. Like, I went through all of the Tigers' 2012 playoff run until they got to the World Series, and I'm not paying those prices for tickets. And it didn't matter because we ended up getting just beat to a pulp anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, to actually be there at that event, like, and you know, like, with the Tigers. The attendance hasn't been great this season. There were probably a few more people in attendance yesterday because Ohtani, because you get to see a player like that. Oh, I know it'd be one. Miggy getting home run number 500 in
last season?
Yeah. The couple Miggy milestones, even though it's not quite as historic in a sense. I mean, it's really good, and it puts him, like, in, you know, one of the top 20 basically hitters ever.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we quite go to that length. So we have quite a bit of stuff yet to do today. We're going to go ahead and hit a break right now, though. Stick around. It is happy hour on Solid State Radio and the voice of the thumb, WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Back after this.
When you want to unwind, Cascaden Lounge in Metamora has everything you need. Hot food. Cold drinks. Keno. Six pool tables. Pinball. Darts. Air hockey. For the musicians, every Thursday night is open mic night. Then on the weekends, Cascadens has the best bands around lighting up their stage. Cascaden Lounge is located at 4099 South Lapeer Road in Metamora. Give them a call at 810-678-2116. That's 810-678-2116. You deserve to relax, and now you know the place. Cascaden Lounge.
Hey, Mom and Dad, do you have kids at home this summer that love musical theater and need someplace to go? Stone's Throw Theater has a musical theater camp just for you. It is a three-week-long summer camp taking place July 10th through July 29th, Monday through Friday. If you want more information, visit us at www.stonesthrowtheater.org or call us at 810-660-7805. Stone's Throw Theater, where music, theater, and art are only a stone's throw away.
Are you tired of your project getting outsourced to contractors and subcontractors? Well, these are the sounds of a job well done. and that's what you can expect from Accurate Exteriors. Tony and his team will work with you one-on-one from the estimate all the way to the finished product. Whether it's roofing, siding, or gutters, still have doubts? Check out their 5-star ratings. Trust me, they can do it. They also have financing available. Give them a call for a free estimate at 810-394-2597.
It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and we are broadcasting live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair in Imlay City. Having a great time out here today.
Oh, yeah.
The weather is very much cooperating, which is rather nice. A nice change of pace after Wednesday when we got just drowned out over here.
And lightning strikes and everything else. It was crazy. Now, I was not sure because, like, right around 10 a.m., I was looking at the weather, and they were saying, like, lightning, apocalyptic kind of weather at 4 o'clock. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. But, no, it looks like it's going to be a good day for the fair.
That it is. And if you come out here today, they are doing tonight is the Bump and Run, which should be a really fun time. I might actually stick around and watch some of that. Tomorrow is the Demolition Derby. Both of those start at 7, Bump and Run tonight at 7, Demolition Derby tomorrow at 7. And remember, with your admission, $25 to get in, but that includes pretty much everything. Like, that includes your, you can ride carnival rides till your stomach can't handle them no more.
Yep.
You can get into the grandstands and watch a bunch of junk cars smash each other up. You can check out
the banana races.
Yeah, tell the people about this, because Ian Kemp just told me about this on Tuesday, and I'm like, what?
I did not know this was a thing, and I've been here all week, and I have yet to check it out. I probably won't get a chance to, but I want to. Banana races, they take monkeys, they put them on dogs, and they race them.
How can you not love that?
Oh, my God. And they wear, like, little cowboy outfits, and, oh, they're so cute.
That's just the best thing ever. Like, I love that that's a thing. I love that we...
The monkeys probably don't like it. Like, I don't like this at all.
Right? Especially running on a day like today. Like,
yeah.
The monkeys are like, I'm done. I need five. Like, I need a smoke break after that. Like, it's, I got to imagine, like, that makes it a bit.
You just see monkeys out there with picket signs.
Exactly. Like, you just don't want any part of that. Like, but definitely stop by and watch that.
Yeah.
Weather is going to hold up. Like, we got basically clear, you know, skies are relatively clear until about midnight or so. So, like, the storms won't even hit until after this thing's done. So get out here for that. The 4-H stuff is also going on, the animal exhibits. You can go pet you some bunnies or other adorable animals and whatnot. That's all open to you. Carnival rides. Everything basically but the food. And let me tell you.
The food's good.
I have been, every day we've been here, I've been partaking of the Lions Den, the Imlay City Lions Club. They have right in front of where the fair office is when you first enter to your right. They've got burgers, they've got conies, they've got chili cheese fries with, and you can tell they're the good ones with the skin on them, the hand cut ones.
Oh, like, yeah, those are good.
Like, that's like this is what fries are supposed to be, man. And just slathered in cheese and coney sauce, and in my case mustard, because, you know, if I'm gonna go full coney, we're gonna go full coney. And let me tell you, it's money well spent. And it's all going to a good cause. Imlay City Lions do all sorts of good things around the eastern side of Lapeer County here.
Yep.
So, you know, it's all for a good cause. So come on out here and see us for that. We're here, obviously. Actually, we're probably in the next hour. If you visit us here back in the Merchant Building, right by where the parking lot is, just go all the way until you hear the loud, obnoxious, drunk guys.
That's us.
That'll be us. Across from the people who are trying to save souls and whatnot, we're doing the exact opposite. We're just generating them more business, more people they can save after the fact. You know,
exactly.
I feel like we're doing our part, but no, we'll have some things to give away here in a little bit. You know, maybe we'll rake Adam over the coals ever so briefly. Speaking of, you had something you wanted to rake me over the coals with. We were talking...
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit fun. Yesterday, we were talking about Doja Cat, and she was
She was rather dismissive towards her fan base.
Yeah, she says, I don't love you. Don't call yourselves that fan base.
I don't even know you.
Yeah, like, I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are.
Like, basically, all the things that you as a public figure are trained to not do to your fan base, she did every single one of them.
Yep.
And people were not happy about it, but, you know, there's going to be like, oh, she's being so real and authentic. You know, how can you not love that?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm telling you, it's going to really, it's got us talking about it for 2 days.
It really does, but apparently she doesn't like that her fan base calls themselves Kittens, which is apparently a nickname that she gave them in the first place.
Yeah.
Quote, when I was a drunk alcoholic teenager. Like, her words, not mine. So, in that same spirit, you wanted to put something to the test here.
Yeah, I've got a list here of other fan base names, and it's going to be very simple. Some of them are simple, some of them not so. I give you the fan base name. You tell me what band or musician they follow.
Okay.
Now, before we joined the folks at WMIC, I asked you about Beatlemaniacs. I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, that's the Who.
Yes, absolutely. Nicely done.
I knew it.
Apologies to those of you who might be eating at the moment. The next group is called the Maggots. You correctly guessed.
Slipknot.
Slipknot. And they said that they called it the Maggots because the crowd looked like a bunch of maggots moving around during their shows.
I guess that kind of makes sense. I assume because Slipknot that, the, you know, the reason was far more dark than that. But, you know, that's,
makes sense.
They embrace it.
Sure.
They're okay with it.
Who follows, and this is a simple one.
Are you asking me who? Well, you're asking me who, not who follows.
I guess
they follow who.
These people follow who? The Deadheads.
That's a tough one. I don't know. The Grateful Dead.
Absolutely. I think probably the earliest known.
Fan base.
No, the Beatles were.
Yeah.
They
were insane, but they weren't traveling all across the country to follow the Beatles to multiple shows. Like, the hippie jam band fans are a whole different class. Like, these people will literally live in a car or a van for, like, 6 months out of the year following a band to see them play. And granted, I know the set list probably changes up somewhat from night to night, but ultimately, at some point, you've seen 10 shows. You've probably seen most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe different drugs on whatever night, but... put hippies and Grateful Dead fans on the list.
Yeah, the apology.
Same
list
goes for you Fish fans and Dave Matthews Band fans, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I remember seeing Blues Traveler back in the heyday when they Run Around was a big hit, and they were a jam band, and they played for like 2-3 hours, and I think they played like 10 songs, because every song was like 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
And then they played, then they're like, okay, I guess we got to play this one. Then they played Run It Round in its normal capacity, and then went off and did whatever.
And then went right back to just jamming out.
Okay, whose fan base calls themselves Juggalos?
Oh, this is Detroit. I should know this.
He
it's
is.
The Insane Clown Posse.
ICP, absolutely.
Apparently they're doing, I was told by someone who apparently is a rather large fan of the band, they're apparently doing one last gathering of the Juggalos and calling it quits.
You see where the CIA tried to label them as a
terrorist organization?
Terrorist organization, yeah. I was like,
would I mess with Juggalos? No.
Not in a group.
No, absolutely not. Like, those people, like, have nothing to lose. But I don't feel like, you know, labeling them a gang or a terrorist organization is necessarily warranted.
Yeah, I mean, what did they do? Did they threaten to, like, break into Fago's head office?
Storming Fago's headquarters.
Yeah.
They tried to stop him from coming out with the fireworks, Fago.
Yeah, that's right.
Stop the...
Now, I don't know this band, but I'm going to get... You probably do.
Okay.
Boxies. They call themselves Boxies.
Boxies?
Yep.
Is there something Box in the band name?
Yes.
Boxies.
Their vocalist is Courtney LaPlante.
Ooh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Spirit Box is the name of that band.
I vaguely have heard the name. I couldn't name you a single song of theirs.
This one is taken from a reference from the 1971 film A Clockwork Orange, Droogies.
Droogies.
What band calls their fan base Droogies?
Ooh, wow, this is a hard one. And I don't know.
Metal band, 80s, had a hits in the early 90s.
That doesn't narrow it down that much. Megadeth? No.
Megadeth, yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know this.
What a shot in the dark.
That was a shot in the dark.
A three-pointer from half court. Nice
I'll take it, and I'll tap out on that note as the undisputed champion of this, because we got to hit top of the hour, so we got to hit news and all that good stuff. So stick around. Erica Frisbee sitting at the news desk waiting after ABC News covers the world at the top of the hour on WMIC AM and W237 EQ FM Sandusky. It is happy hour live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair. Stick around. Happy hour. We are live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair in beautiful Imlay City. We're here all week. We've been here all week long and closing out today. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, by the way. Glad to have you here.
Real quick, what fan base does the Gunners follow?
The Gunners? I'm assuming GNR.
I've been listening to GNR since 87. I've never heard their fan base call themselves Gunners, ever.
No, but I've also never heard the Megadeth fan base referred to, what'd you say, Droogers or something?
Droogies.
Droogies.
Well, Mustaine gave them that name.
Okay, I apparently missed out on that entirely. So we're out here all afternoon, and we're going to be, at some point in the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to be trying to give away some, well, we've got prizes. We got fun and fabulous prizes. Because, you know, whenever we show up at one of these things, we always bring the solid state prize closet out and try and empty it when we actually have people out in the public that we can do so with. We've got
a lot of stuff donated from bands that visit the studio from time to time.
We've randomly got a proper 12 Irish whiskey, like, beer koozie thing.
I don't even know. I think that's supposed to go on top of a bottle of proper 12. It looks like a little hoodie.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know what functional purpose it would serve if that's the case. We have an actual koozie from our friends in Icarus Fell.
Yes.
Who, last time we did a live remote on this station, they were out as our musical guest on Sessions.
Yes, they were.
We have a t-shirt from them, a couple t-shirts from them, and a koozie. We've also got gift certificates to Woodchip's Real American Barbecue in lovely downtown Lapeer. So we might try and give those away coming up a little bit later on in the program.
You have to earn them.
You do. And trust me, it's not nearly as difficult as we make it look. Like, it's really quite easy.
You have to work the overnight shift.
Right. Yeah, you have fun with that. But in the meantime, let's have a little bit of fun with one of our normal Friday bits, our favorite thing that we do on the show, honestly. Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. I think we give better advice than the real advice columnists do.
Typically, yes.
So we had some fun ones today. Let's dive right in, shall we?
Yep.
Not those two. Not again. For how long is it appropriate to display accolades acquired in high school? I've heard the bashing of people in their 30s that still celebrate their high school years, but people seem to be divided on exactly when that starts being trashy. For context, I just turned 19, and I'll be starting my second year of college soon. My high school years were successful. I got straight A's and ended up finishing in the top 1% of my class. Between that and my involvement in STEM, arts, foreign language programs, I had 6 cords and 3 medals at graduation. One of the cords was a freebie, scored tier of a required standardization test, and another was very easy to get, but I did go out of my way to earn the others. In my dorm during my freshman year, I displayed the cords and medals together under my loft bed. Now those things are a full year behind me, and my parents, among others, have told me that my period of bragging rights is over. I don't want to come across as stuck up or a bragger, even when they were in my room. I only disclose their meanings when asked. I wouldn't really be losing anything but some pretty decor by leaving them at home. So is that what I ought to do from here on out?
No. You earned that. You
did that.
You did that. Be proud of it. And it's not like... It's not like when you're 5 or 10 years removed from high school and you see the captain of the football team back in high school still wearing his Letterman's jacket. you know that guy.
We all know that guy.
Like, everybody knows that guy.
I feel like I know a couple people at my age, you know, at 27, that still are, you know, have their Letterman jacket and wear it from time to
They're
time.
They're trying to really, I was something once. No.
See, and I find that weird anyway because I don't even own a Letterman jacket. I had a letter from marching band, but I didn't buy the jacket. I don't have a class ring. I don't have any of that stuff.
I had a class ring. My girlfriend stole it. I had a jacket. I had a JV letter in chess. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wow, Adam was smart at one point. Crazy.
But, I mean, yeah, she is not, like, prating around. It's in her bedroom.
Right.
I mean, and her parents are going to say, well, you know, you don't have reason to brag anymore. Yes, you do. If you get high honors, if you any kind of accomplishment, put it in there. Because I guarantee you, there's people out there. Well, I mean, you go into a doctor's office. Somebody's been out of doctor's school for 10, 20 years. Their diploma's still hanging up on the wall. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely they are.
And I mean, if you go into a, you know, somebody who has a gold record, a musician that's got a gold record, that's on the wall. Absolutely. You accomplish something, be proud of it, and don't let anybody take that away from you.
And I find it really weird that her parents that are, like, dogging her the most about this.
Yeah.
I find that really kind of, like, awful, honestly.
That's pretty, that's make it sad that she has to go to us knuckleheads for any kind of solace.
Right.
You, from us at happy hour, you go, girl. I have trophies all over my bedroom. I have a participant. I have you tried. I have a ribbon that said you showed up. One that said you left when we told you to. No, I mean, seriously.
You have your letter from your probation officer saying you successfully completed all the terms of your probation.
I did frame that. I had one of those, and I did frame it and kept it in the house.
Is that not hanging in the studio? I feel like
I
it should be.
I tell you what, though. I'm bringing my Spexhauer diploma, and I'm putting that up in the studio because I earned it.
I know, and you never let us forget that.
I do not.
No, we know you don't.
I mean, I don't. What's the proper? Anyway.
You do.
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you succeed in anything, you should be proud of it. You should be able to, if nothing else, just to remind yourself. You're having a bad day, and you're like, oh, man, I just got beaten down by the system today. You go to bed, and you see she sees those cords. She sees those ribbons or whatever. She says, okay, I accomplished something. I'm going to go to bed. Tomorrow's a whole new day, and I'm going to make it my you-know-what.
I made the principal's list, and by God, I don't have to take blank from anybody.
That's right.
Like, I don't really, like, from the side of, you know, your parents coming down on you, that's already awful. Like, that's really not cool of them, like, to try and downplay what your accomplishments are.
Yeah, that's not cool.
For me personally, like, I have the 2 degrees I got in college. Like, they're somewhere. I've never actually put them up anywhere. I probably never would.
You have 2?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know your associates in business.
Yeah. Yeah, there's business management, and then there's another one. I don't remember what it's in, but I technically have 2.
Basket weaving. You did a good job in basket weaving. There you go.
Oh, I aced that class. Let me tell you. But
I was with all the football players.
But maybe it's because I also, like, feel weird about the people who, like, basically their entire self worth is based on what they did in high school, and you're 30 now.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't wait to get out of high school. Like, the people who feel like high school's the best years of your life, I don't understand that literally at all. I don't get. I mean, you can't even drink in high school. I mean, some of us still did, but that's not the point.
You're not legal. I know some people who drank in high school and don't now because it's legal for them now, and it takes away the thrill.
It took away all the fun of it.
Isn't that weird? It's like, you can drink at a bar now. You don't have to drink on state game land.
But sometimes it's more fun to drink in state game land. Let's be honest here. Sometimes it just is.
We were at a kegger at Sean's house, and cop showed up. One guy jumped over the fence. I'm like, you're legal now, idiot. Anyway.
But no, like, I don't get the, you know, until you've graduated college, I feel like if you're asking me for a when's it, like, how long can you hang on to your honors in high school or the 31 you got on your ACT or whatever, I feel like at least through college. Like, once you've got your bachelor's degree, you don't need it anymore because, okay, you've actually completed 4 years in college. But
yeah, I think anything you're proud of, frame it. If you're proud of it, be proud of it. But sometimes, I mean, there is a duration of when you start talking about it all the time. It's like, oh, he's going to be talking about that associates in business. There he is. He's been out of college for how long? It took him like 6 years to get that associates. Here he's going to talk about it again.
To be fair, the only time you ever hear me talk about it is when I tell you how little it helped me get a job in radio. Like, you had to pay thousands of dollars to find out that, you know, whether you could hack it in radio. I didn't have to pay anything to find out that I suck at this. So, I mean, really, who's really getting out? Also, mine was mostly covered by, like, grants and whatnot. It's like, who really comes out winning in this battle?
Hey, I also learned how to make a really good ramen noodle dish, so... You know, there is that.
Oh, I can cook ramen noodles with the best of them, let me tell you. So let's do one more of these real quick.
Sure.
Dear somebody who cares, my sisters and I were raised in the great outdoors. We knew how to fish and hunt by the time we were 5. By 15, we were going on deep wood camping trips on our own and often teaching adults the ins and outs. Even with us living in major cities, we still try to get together and pass off the knowledge to the next generation, my nieces. I am dating a great guy with 2 young daughters. I love him and get along with the girls, but their interests are very much not running around in the woods. We've gone on some trips together, but that was renting a cabin with AC and plumbing or going for hikes at a local park. I have a sister trip coming up during spring break where we'll be camping in a famous national park. The girls have expressed interest in coming, but I've explained it's not like our regular trips and they would be expected to sleep in the ground and have to dig holes to relieve themselves in. Yes. They would be miserable. The girls insist they could do it, but these are the same girls who would complain about the bugs and heat and refuse to use porta-johns when we go to outdoor festivities. My boyfriend thinks I need to give it a chance, and it will be a great bonding activity. It'll show the girls that my family is their family. I think it's a disaster in the making. I get along with the girls, but a several-day camping trip without their father is too chaotic. If he joined us, it would defeat the purpose of a sister's trip, and we haven't had the chance to do one in over 2 years. Am I awful for not wanting the girls to come? I have suggested that we as a family try some light camping ourselves to get them used to the experience, but my boyfriend is taking my refusals as a personal statement about my commitment to our relationship. Help, please?
Okay, so as many years as we've been doing this, I think this has only happened like once or twice, but there is no bad guy here.
There's also a clear-cut answer.
Well, yeah, the clear-cut answer is no. Don't bring his kids on one of these. They're not going to have a good time. Kudos to these kids for at least wanting to try it.
Right.
And showing an effort. I can't get my stepkids to do anything I like. But, you know, she knows what it means by deep woods camping. They don't. So what you do is... give them a little bit of taste. I like the light camping part first. I like that. But also, you know, maybe when you're at the house, turn off the AC, turn off the Wi-Fi. As soon as they start whining and crying, it's like, at least you don't have to sleep on the ground like you do camping with me. Yeah.
See, the Wi-Fi could deal with the AC, not so much. And I say this as somebody who didn't have AC in my room until I bought the house that I have now.
I mean, I can live without AC. I do it at my house, but
I can't.
I got to warn you, if you knock on my door, I'm wearing shorts, and that is it.
You're lucky if I'm wearing that. So
you got the whole butcher shop on display.
Yep. So I feel like I have a little bit of particular experience in this because I didn't camp at all until I started dating Rachel. And...
Is her version of camping similar to the writers?
Yes.
Digging a hole and sleep on the ground.
So let me kind of explain here. So when we go camping, when we first started going, when it was with her whole like family, like they took the RV out. When her and I started doing it together, it was just, so there is a pole where you have electricity where you can plug in to like inflate your air mattress and all this stuff.
Air mattress, whoa, Rockefeller.
And there is a bathroom on the campsite that you've got to walk a ways to for like your showers and toilet and whatnot.
Showers, wow, okay.
There is one time
Beverly Hills over here.
There there is one time where we went where we didn't have access to those things, and I hated it. And she didn't know that we didn't have access to those things until we got there. But she is the kind of person, like, she does do the actual, like, backpacking, rustic camping. Yeah. There is no electricity. There is, you are digging a hole to take the Browns to the Super Bowl. There is, like, you have none of the creature comforts. You're not showering for 3 days. And that is the sort of stuff that she does a couple times a year. She loves it. And I absolutely hate it.
So what you're saying is, during those 3 times, at least day number 3, there's no romantic time.
I don't go on those trips. I'll tell you right now, I don't. When she does those, the backpacking trips, I don't go with.
Yeah.
You have fun with that. I'll be here where I have a toilet and a shower. See you in 3 days.
See,
like, that's how that works.
Yeah, I like camping, but I got to have an air mattress. And I like to be able to sit in front of a fire. I like that part. The day camping, I don't care about it. Chopping wood. And I mean, I've done it. I was a Boy Scout. I was a senior patrol leader.
I mean, I like the camp, setting up in our tent with our air mattress, which is actually, for being basically a cot, is really, really comfortable.
Yeah.
And doing the bonfire thing. And other than I'm not a big fan of the fact that I am a mosquito magnet.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I can't handle is the animals that live in the woods.
That part of it I like.
Can't they move out when I get there?
Right. All that stuff, though, I like. You're absolutely right. Your boyfriend's wrong. Like, you don't take the girls out to that. You don't, absolutely don't do it.
They need a training camping trip.
Let them do some camping. Like, take the whole family out on a camping trip where you have a tent, electricity, maybe at least access to, and there is somewhere toilet and showers on the site of the campground.
Yes.
Do that first. Then maybe you graduate to the rustic, there is no electricity, and there's no showers, but you still have a toilet, and then maybe you progress to the next step. You don't do that all in one fell swoop,
and then eventually you graduate to where you have to sleep back to back so that you're not sleeping in the mud, and somebody's got to be awake because there's a coyote sighting within the area.
Exactly. So you do all that, and then maybe you're ready. You're absolutely you're on the money on this one. Like, you have to prepare them for this, because if you're not fully prepared,
it's going to be a miserable time.
It's going to be a miserable time, and the girls are never going to want to go camping again. You have to. It's like the frog with the boiling water thing.
Yes.
Like, you don't just throw them in there when already you heat them up. You get them used to it gradually, and then you let them,
Then you chop off their legs and eat them. After boiling them in butter. Where are you going with this, Sean? They're children.
You know where I'm going with this, though. What I'm saying is
gradually.
You gradually introduce them to it, and then they'll be like, they'll be the kind of people that actually can survive when the apocalypse hits by the time all is said and done. Hope this helps. We got to hit a break. John McMurray's got your weather forecast up next. It is Happy Hour on Solid State Radio and the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Back after this.
When you want to unwind, Cascaden Lounge in Metamora has everything you need. Hot food. Cold drinks. Keno. 6 pool tables. Pinball. Darts. Air hockey. For the musicians, every Thursday night is open mic night. Then on the weekends, Cascadens has the best bands around lighting up their stage. Cascaden Lounge is located at 4099 South Lapeer Road in Metamora. Give them a call at 810-678-2116. That's 810-678-2116. You deserve to relax, and now you know the place. Cascaden Lounge.
Hey, Mom and Dad, do you have kids at home this summer that love musical theater and need someplace to go? Stone's Throw Theater has a musical theater camp just for you. It is a 3-week-long summer camp taking place July 10th through July 29th, Monday through Friday. If you want more information, visit us at www.stonesthrowtheater.org or call us at 810-660-7805. Stone's Throw Theater, where music, theater, and art are only a stone's throw away.
Are you tired of your project getting outsourced to contractors and subcontractors? Well, these are the sounds of a job well done, and that's what you can expect from Accurate Exteriors. Tony and his team will work with you one-on-one from the estimate all the way to the finished product. Whether it's roofing, siding, or gutters, still have doubts? Check out their 5-star ratings. Trust me, they can do it. They also have financing available. Give them a call for a free estimate at 810-394-2597.
The Sessions Concert Series is back at the Corona Road Bar, Saturday, August 12th. Three bands that I play on Sessions that you need to see live. Gutter Swamp, Hyper, and Crafted Conviction. It's all taking place Saturday.
Happy Hour at South State Radio and the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM, live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair in Imlay City, where right now you're sitting at 84 degrees under partly cloudy skies. And it's going to stay pretty nice, if a bit warm, for the rest of the evening.
Yep.
You heard McMurray in that last weather segment there. We're looking at pretty clear skies, or, you know, at least no storms until after the festivities are done for the night. And I can already see there's people filing into the grandstands for the bump and run tonight.
If I wasn't doing radio, I'd be watching people run into each other.
Right.
Instead, I got to wait until the parking lot afterwards.
Exactly. Well, we might have. Hopefully, the bump and run should still be going by the time you get off the air with Sessions.
Yeah, so. This is true. Frame 42 in studio. How you doing? on the show with me tonight.
Well, it's our mobile studio. I'll take it. I feel like that's fine.
Yeah.
So we do these every so often, especially on the Friday shows, because a lot of you guys obviously are probably coming into this thing. Who are these people that are accosting the airwaves of this fine radio station every Friday afternoon? And that's understandable. I get it. So we kind of like to let you in on a little bit of who it is that we are here. Kind of, we have our little list of getting to know you questions, and I feel like maybe reveal a little bit more about ourselves than certainly you probably want to know, and maybe that our corporate overlords at Sand Lake Broadcasting want to know.
Right.
So for today, this is a question. I feel like in a sense we'll have some good stories at least with this.
Okay.
What was a time at which a date was going well, but the other person ruined it?
Oh, well, sit down, everybody.
He's got some tales for you, let me tell you.
Okay, so I was with this woman. I was engaged to this woman. I was betrothed.
Ooh.
And
look at you and your fancy $10 words. Betrothed.
Oh, yes. I got engaged at 21, which is always a good idea.
Yeah, no. Never, ever, ever do that.
No, don't do that. I know there's a 21-year-old going, I love her. She's my everything, yeah.
We're going to be together forever. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. I've been with the woman I'm now married to since she was 18. She is now 20.
It's widely known that women are more mature than guys. So an 18-year-old woman is like a 23-year-old guy.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. It's certainly been the case in my relationship.
So I would go into public situations, and I'm talking like big public situations. And for her, let's call her Mary. We'll call her Mary.
Well, you had a lot of girlfriends with that name.
Yeah. Yeah, you notice that? Mary, and she would find these opportunities to just wig out for whatever reason. We were there. It was about this temperature outside. We were at Pine Knob. We were seeing a bunch of bands, and we were watching Cheap Trick at that moment.
How's Cheap Trick? I've never seen them live.
They're fantastic. They are road dogs. For whatever reason, you'll go to like a festival, and it's like Slipknot and Five Finger Death Punch and Cheap Trick for whatever reason. So I'm sitting there. I'm in the line.
Rick Nielsen's got to pay off all those guitars he owns, man. And it was, first, I apologize to him.
I got tickets from the station I'd worked at, so we didn't even pay to get in, but I was representing the station. And
right.
we're in the drink line, and she flips a switch. She found, here's a way I can be a complete pain in the butt. Oh, you
lovely.
You have hot cocoa on the menu board? I want hot cocoa. And the person on the other side of the table obviously looked at her like, you know, why? It's 90-some degrees outside. Everybody's ordering cold beer or lemonade or waters or whatever. She says, I want hot cocoa. Well, man, we don't really have that set up right now. We weren't anticipating. You have hot cocoa on the menu. She told it. This is before Karen was a coined phrase, and she was a Karen.
Oh, boy.
So they had to make, I missed I Want You to Want Me from Cheap Trick because this pain in the butt had to have hot cocoa in the middle of the night. I mean, in the middle of
really?
The summer. Yeah.
That seems a bit excessive.
Yep. So there was that one. She also flipped out in Canada. I was with a bunch of my coworkers because some of my coworkers were 19 and we wanted to let them have fun. So we went to Windsor and she flipped out, decided that was a good time. So she started flailing around. Just leave me here. Just leave me here.
Really?
My next girlfriend, who I started dating after her, said, yeah, leave her here. Let's go. And the cops, the OPP, Ontario Provincial Police.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah. They showed up, and they're like, is everything okay? I was like, I don't know. Ask her. She's the one flailing on the ground. I'm fine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
That sounds like a fun day.
Then there was this other one. Her name was also Mary. We're at a nice restaurant. It was Valentine's Day, and we did the flowers, the candy, and the cards, and I took her to a nice restaurant, and we're having dinner, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, she started talking about all her past conquests with her past boyfriends. I'm like, really? Really?
That seems a bit much.
Yeah, just a tad.
Yeah, that would get old really quick. I can't imagine that would be something that...
That really killed the mood for me. Then, of course, I had one that, you know, she was a pain in the butt to every server, every cashier that she could come in contact with. That was frustrating. Yeah, I've mentioned her many times.
Oh, that one. Yeah, you have mentioned that. You've mentioned that a few times over the years.
Sure.
So none of mine have ever been, like, while I was on a date that things went bad. They started bad and got worse.
Yeah.
Those have been all mine.
Your fault?
All right. So apparently we may have lost signal somewhere in there because, well, my data run came to an end there.
Oh, no.
By the way, it is happy hour, WMIC, AM 660, and the Voice of the Thumb, 95.3 FM. The question was, what have you been on a date and it just went really south because of something the other person did? Mine have always been to date. Every single one of them has been, they started out not great and got worse. Or it was something that happened when we weren't on a date. Like, the closest thing that I have to this that qualifies is the girl I took out for her 21st birthday.
Oh, the Woo girl.
I've told the story of Woo 21 on the air, haven't I?
The other people need to hear this one.
So, yeah, this is a first for the whole thumb, isn't it? This one, yeah, she's still called Woo 21 among our circle of friends because the first, like, full-on date we went on, it was her 21st birthday, and I took her out to a local watering hole that no longer exists in my hometown. And it kind of went sideways a little bit because she didn't get too far. Like, I knew it was a bad idea when she showed up with this bright yellow dress, a sash, and a tiara. Now, Adam, you've known me for way too many years.
Yes.
Do I look like the kind of person that can deal with a bright yellow sash and tiara wearing person? Like, does that seem like someone who would be a good fit for me?
I'm surprised you're like, oh, sorry, I was here to pick somebody else up.
So already it was, all right, this seems like a bad idea. I don't know if I told you this part. I actually picked her up. I had to borrow my buddy's car because mine was in the shop at the time. One of the other groomsmen at my wedding, he was nice enough to loan me the use of his Ford Explorer. This thing, like, it's amazing this thing actually lasted as long as it did. But I borrowed this car, went and picked her up, saw the outfit, already knew that we were in a no-fly zone, honestly.
Yeah.
So we get to the bar.
two shots in, she's become full-on woo girl. Every time she sees someone, she's yelling at every car driving by in the street, 21, woo!
Yeah.
She's doing it. Every car that drives by, she is doing this.
Oh, boy.
So already, it's a mess. That bar closes. She has decided she wants to go to another bar that is now closed in my hometown at the time. That is basically one of two things on any given night. The drug bar and the bar that you're most likely to get into a fight in town.
Okay. Yes, I know that one. Yes.
And she actually says, I want to go to this bar. I want to see a fight.
Oh, my God.
And by which I think I meant she wanted to start a fight and then make me finish it. Because she'd think that would be the kind of thing that would be hilarious. Like, oh, great, so you're going to get me in a bar fight tonight on your 21st birthday.
Yeah, fantastic.
Awesome. And okay, no, that's not happening. And she's like, I want to go to... Is the stage of limitations up? Can I say the name of the bar now?
Yeah, you can. You can.
They're
do
not
that.
Open anymore.
No, they're not open anymore.
I want to go to Fat Boys. You can't. You're not taking me home till I go to Fat Boys. And she literally. So this bar that we're at is right across from the little farmer's market pavilion. This concrete stand.
Yeah.
And she literally sits on the ground, cross-legged, starts throwing a tantrum. I'm not going to you take me to Fat Boys.
All right.
Literally throwing a tantrum in the middle of downtown.
Oh yeah. So that's when you say, all right, well, hang on a second. I'm going to go to the car and get something real quick.
And then we'll go back. No, what I actually did is I told her, yeah, we'll take you there. That got her in the car and immediately started driving back to her house. She didn't figure it out until we were back into the parking lot of her apartment complex, which is really amazing.
You ever see her after that?
There was one other time, and what I thought was potentially going to be a date, which ended up me helping her move things into her apartment.
Uh-huh.
And there were things that were said that day that really convinced me that, this could never, ever, ever, ever work out.
See, now, you don't like the TV show Friends, but every time you talk about her, I think of Janice from Friends.
That's probably a fairly apt comparison. I've watched it enough to know why I hate it, but you're not wrong about that. So that's probably the worst I ever had that even somewhat fits the criteria.
Yeah.
Let's hit a break. We'll come back. We'll close this thing out. And I don't know. Well, maybe we'll try and give away some things if we can get some willing participants over here. It is Happy Hour, live from the Eastern Michigan State Fair on Solid State Radio and the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC, AM 660 and 95.3 FM. Back after this.
When you want to unwind, Cascaden Lounge in Metamora has everything you need. Hot food.
Cold drinks.
Keno.
Six pool tables.
Pinball.
Darts.
Air hockey. For the musicians, every Thursday night is open mic night. Then on the weekends, Cascadens has the best bands around lighting up their stage. Cascaden Lounge is located at 4099 South Lapeer Road in Metamora. Give them a call at 810-678-2116. That's 810-678-2116. You deserve to relax, and now you know the place. Cascaden Lounge.
Hey, Mom and Dad, do you have kids at home this summer that love musical theater and need someplace to go? Stone's Throw Theater has a musical theater camp just for you. It is a three-week-long summer camp taking place July 10th through July 29th, Monday through Friday. If you want more information, visit us at www.stonesthrowtheater.org or call us at 810-660-7805. Stone's Throw Theater, where music, theater, and art are only a stone's throw away.
Are you tired of your project getting outsourced to contractors and subcontractors? Well, these are the sounds of a job well done, and that's what you can expect from Accurate Exteriors. Tony and his team will work with you one-on-one from the estimate all the way to the finished product. Whether it's roofing, siding, or gutters, still have doubts? Check out their 5-star ratings.
The joke.
Jack Daniels!
That wasn't the drop that was supposed to be there, but it's the drop that we got. It is Happy Hour on the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. And, of course, Solid State Radio. He's Adam Herahuck. I'm Sean Campbell, and we're live at the Eastern Michigan State Fair in Imlay City, just having a good old time. And as we get set to close this thing off on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah. This has been a fun week. It's like it's kind of like going to, like, day camp or something like that. You know, get out of the studio. I will say, though, I was in the studio today, and it's a nice, chilly 67 degrees in there. Oh, it was beautiful.
I know. Like, that's the nice thing. Like, back at the Lyric, we have, like, the coldest room in the building. Like, it's a wonderful thing. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Like, but we also have the hottest room in the winter, which, you know, which is not bad when it's, like, cold outside, but then you're just, like, sweating and just a bunch of guys in there, and it starts to have that smell. And
yeah, it gets
smells like a locker
bit,
room.
It gets a tad bit musty, that's for sure. Thankfully, out here, we have a more of a wide open space. So that's nice. And we've in the few minutes we have left, we'll see if we can actually do this. I think what I want to do is I want to try and give away some stuff. We got prizes over here. Like, I would like to try and, I don't want to say rid ourselves of these, but, you know, we have T-shirts and gift certificates just burning a hole in our pocket. If anyone wants to stop by and try and win them here, I see we've already got Frame 42 making their way in because they're going to be Adam's guest of honor tonight on Sessions, America's favorite local original Michigan-made music program, which will be right here on Solid State Radio in about 5 minutes and will be on the Thumb's Greatest Hits 97.7 WTGV tonight at 11 or
right
after Tiger Baseball, whichever. Hopefully we don't have a game that runs like super extra innings or something. I mean, actually, the games, I believe, started at 6:40.
It should be fine. If it
so
was
it's
storming,
out right now.
If it was going to storm, then we might have a problem, but
right,
the storm's going to miss us until
yeah
after midnight.
You know as well as I do, this offense is not going to put together nearly enough hits and runs to get us to like a 12, 13-inning game or anything.
Right.
I mean, I'll give them credit. They did against the Angels get to, I think, 10 on Tuesday, but you know that Lightning's not going to strike twice in the same week.
Right, right.
You like to think it is. I believe we're – how many days are we away from the deadline? August 1st, so – Tuesday. Tuesday is the trade deadline, and I feel like after yesterday's round of games, it should be fairly obvious at this point that this team is, they're going to be sellers.
After the last couple of games, I want to know when the end of the season is.
When's
hockey season? Let's just move there.
Right. Can we just progress directly ahead to hockey? Well, I'm kind of liking the summer thing, so I want to skip ahead to that. Just let me skip ahead to the Lions preseason. How about that?
Yeah, yeah.
I could live with that. We could do that, and I'd be entirely fine with it. Well, I mean, training camp's already going, and so far so good, other than, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson maybe missing some time. One of the guys who got to shore up this the secondary that I've complained about for so many years.
Right.
So I'm hoping that he's going to be able to do what we need to actually make this defense look, you know, to make this defense be on par with what the offense already is. But that's a couple weeks away yet. Those are bridges that I suppose will burn when we get to them.
Yeah, that's right.
But point being to all that, Sessions coming up next or at 11 o'clock on 97.7 with special guest Frame 42. Should be a good time all the way around talking about their new record. What's the name of the new record, Adam? I don't remember.
I think
remember.
It's self-titled, isn't it? Self-titled.
Oh, it's self-titled. Okay, very cool. We've got some tracks from that already that we'll be playing later on in the program. It'll be a good time all the way around. Well, let's go ahead and I feel like we really have to do this week because, you know, we've been out here in the public eye being disparaging to everybody, so I guess let's go ahead and just cue up the music.
Oh, yeah.
In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Randy Hauser's Used Vehicles, Lapeer Days, Gospel 1230 WNBC, Woody, New Hampshire, Nebraska, Hipsters, Brad Ratface Marshawn, Dylan Larkin, Sean Avery, the Arizona Coyotes, the South, Hippies, Grateful Dead fans, Juggalos, Fago, and Eddie Fury. We're sorry!
Hi, Eddie.
He's sitting back in studio. He's like, okay, we've gotten through like 88.5 minutes of this. Don't screw it up for me now.
Here's my top 10 favorite racial slurs.
We're going to count down our top 10 favorite curse words. Number three is going to really be a surprise to everybody, I think.
Make sure you watch to the end.
I mean, this is short attention span radio, so we really should just, which, why isn't, that should, almost should be the name of this program.
Yeah.
Sometimes I almost feel like we should just start our show with, make sure you listen to the end. Because half the time, we don't know how we got to where we started and where we ended.
Yeah, so, why, listen to the end. That's when the alcohol kicks in. Then we're really funny.
Exactly. So the Tigers, they've just been absolutely garbage this week. And that's why the stock market's going to crash in like the next 30 days. Like, you know, it's
and
really...
that's why I'm not allowed in Foot Locker anymore.
But I'm serious now. Thank you so much, Eddie Fury, who's watching the who's babysitting us back at the WMIC World Headquarters in Sandusky, for making sure this thing sounded about as seamless as we could possibly make it given the circumstances. Stick around if you're listening on the terrestrial airwaves. Jesse Kelly is next on WMIC AM Sandusky and W237 EQ FM Sandusky. If you're listening on Solid State Radio, Sessions is up next. All being well, talk to you next week. See ya.